Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine. Find them at 1624 Clarkson Road over in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your wine and whiskey and local craft beers. So swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday. They do live music most Thursday through Saturday, some Tuesdays, some Wednesdays. This week you can come by and see Dylan Wilfong of The Matching Shoe. He'll be there on Thursday, June 7th. On Friday, June 8th, you can catch John Bonham and Friends. And on Saturday, June 9th, Fine to Drive. And they'll be their full band. It's going to be a great night. And also next week, Tuesday, June 12th, we'll be doing our Rock Paper Podcast Presents Singer-Songwriter Storytelling Showcase with Joe Bazzelli, Seth Brand, and Tyler Lewis. That's a $5 cover, 7 to 9, at Naked Vine. So come by and check that out. A full listing of events can be found at nakedvine.net. And we'll see you out there. Be sure to follow them on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Thanks, everyone.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Fine to Drive, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here. Rock Paper Podcast coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Fine to Drive. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thanks, Shane.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, you guys want to properly introduce yourselves for those listening?
Sure. I'm Susie Bassino.
I'm Michael Eisenbeis.
Yeah, this is the duo version. We do have a full band version of Fine to Drive as well.
We do. Yes. We have Quentin Coe on bass, Adam White on drums, and Bob Breidenbach on dobro and steel.
Very cool. I guess I've been kind of following the group for a while now, and which is a lot of how a lot of these interviews work, is like, you know, you follow them around town, you see them play and stuff, and this is a good opportunity for me to kind of get to sit and talk and not in a crazy loud bar or whatever it is, and we can actually have a conversation and get to know each other and a little better and stuff. But so I thought this would be fun to get to know a little bit more about Fine to Drive, and we have a record to promote and everything. We got some songs we're going to share from that. We did some live acoustic stuff. So I'm just like I said, this is exciting times for Fine to Drive. I'm glad it worked out today where we're here.
Thanks.
So I guess let's start with how this group came to be. I mean, this is how long has Fine to Drive been in existence now?
Oh, probably about
2 years, maybe.
Yeah, 2.5,
it kinda,
three.
It came about, we have a country band called Whiskey Morning, and every once in a while that band would do some trio dates, and then at one point one of the guys couldn't do the date, and her and I did it, and we just kind of started doing some of those duos like that.
And kind of adding in songs that
we were just playing cover songs that we liked, you know, old country stuff or whatever, Americana stuff. And then at some point we realized what we thought would make things clearer was we would give this a different name, and it would make everything, you know, clear everything up. It really just confuses everything.
It wouldn't
so there's
be
a big
Whiskey
confusion
Morning.
Between
it would be something different.
Whiskey Morning, Fine to Drive Duo, Fine to Drive Full Band. It's all a big mess, but it's pretty much all kind of...
Well said, Michael.
Yeah. So really, in the big picture, Whiskey Morning is the cover band. Fine to Drive is our original band.
Okay.
So that's kind of the basic...
Yeah.
Basic thing there. Sometimes there might be some groups of people under the name of Whiskey Morning or Fine to Drive, and we're playing some of the other songs. But it's always Susie and me and Bob are the four that are in both bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kevin Gagner-Payne, who plays bass in Whiskey Morning. We have Quentin Coe, who plays bass in Fine to Drive. So,
but to complicate matters, Kevin Gagner-Payne is also our Fine to Drive producer.
Yeah, he produced the record. So
we're all just friends, and
you know, I mean, you've been around the music scene enough to know how everything just everybody fingers into, that sounds horrible. Everybody works into everybody, you know, everybody is helping this person out, or they play with these people, or...
But you find, you know, people that you like to play with who get you, and you work together well. Yeah. So when you have another project come up, you obviously you go to your friends.
Yeah. I got these buddies, the Scandaleros, and they're the same way. That's the Scandaleros are their original project, and then Alligator Wine is their Grateful Dead cover stuff, and like, it's all the same players, but just two different bands.
Yeah, well, two different bands, we do totally different music for the most part in those two different groups. So
we tried to, like, when we were doing the duos, we were just trying to do everything that was a duet. We just wanted to sing songs together. Not, this is a Susie song, this is a Michael song. We wanted to try to come up with all songs that we were singing or trading off lines together. Just kind of old country type stuff. And then if there was more modern songs we liked, we would make duets out of them.
Right.
So that was kind of the whole basic.
That was kind of the difference, I think, in Find a Drive versus Whiskey Morning, because Find a Drive really became more like vocal driven and harmony driven, and that was just kind of where we had so much fun singing and playing those songs together, and our voices work really well together, so we just kind of kept finding more and more songs.
And then a couple of years ago, we were at the 38 Songwriters Festival in Panama City, or
Destin, it's Watercolor Seaside area,
yeah.
38
in Florida, yeah. And in January, a couple of years ago, and we were just seeing all these songwriters. I mean, there's 300 performers in 33 venues over the weekend. And it just kind of inspired us to start writing our own Find a Drive stuff. Mm-hmm. So we came back, and within like 2 months, we wrote the whole Find a Drive record. It was just, it was a really inspiring thing. We recorded it that summer. And then, of course, it just came out, I guess, this February or something like that.
Well, he'd always written alone or with maybe one other person. I have always written everything alone. So writing with another person was kind of a learning curve, but I think it worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean,
so even all the songs, you guys actually put all the words together?
Yeah.
So it's not like you figure out how to sing them together. You will still write all of them together?
Usually,
it's weird. We write them together, like... I'll have a musical bit or a line, or she'll have some lines, and we just, you know, like everybody keeps notes on their phone, we just keep those notes, and we have an idea and we start going with it and pulling lines from here or there. The singing part just happens. Like, we don't even work out the harmonies. We just like start singing through it, and it just works itself out naturally, which is kind of nice. Like, I don't think we've ever sat down and tried to say, okay, how would we sing this? How do we sing this part? What are we going to sing here? That just like naturally falls into place.
That seems like the easy part.
Yeah,
once the song is kind of in shape, the harmony part is not the issue.
We're always on the same page mentally somehow with that.
Like, I think it's our,
always go in the right direction.
Both of us have grown up with and always loved a lot of the same music, coincidentally. All the same classic Louvin Brothers and Buck Owens and Loretta Lynn. And it kind of comes out, I think, in what we write.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Very cool. You were telling me that you named the cat even Loretta.
Well, before I knew Susie, I rescued a cat and named her Loretta Lynn and called her Lolo for short. And then I met Susie, and she had a cat that she had named Loretta Lynn, called Lolo for short. Plus, she had Dolly Parton, which they were litter mates. So yeah, so now all those cats are merged in the same under the same roof, and it's been 7 months and it's not getting any better. But
the two Lorettas are more friendly to each other than Dolly is with his Loretta.
Yeah.
So we had to rename our Loretta Lynns for clarity. We named them North Side and South Side. So anyway, every day's a new adventure with the cats.
But every night around 9 or 10, the fight starts and you hear the cats yelling at each
the
other.
The hissing and the chasing.
Yeah. I have two pups, and Belle, she's my beagle, and she's like 13 or something now. I don't know what she's. Me and her have been together a long time, And then Java's my pit boxer puppy, and she's like four now. But like, those two go round and round all the time. Like, I mean, they are sisters, you know. Like, they fight and stuff. And I'm like, but Belle's like the crabby old lady, and she runs the house, and she'll bark at her and tell her, you know, like, and sets the, all right, that's enough, you know, and like, and so.
It's weird. You think you have this whole world in your house, but they have their own world in your house too.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
and once you think it's all worked out fine, like, wait, I think they might be getting along. No, it all goes to pot.
Yeah. But that's interesting to hear some of that, like how you guys write, because like, I just love that kind of stuff. I love hearing some of that behind the scenes of how all this comes together, and it's nice to hear that. I guess it's kind of cool to hear that you saying that it just comes that easy, the harmonies and stuff, because like, it does seem like you guys, it's pretty effortless for you guys when you're singing it together. You make it look fairly easy, so it's nice to hear that. It's not like you had to put a whole lot of effort into it, but
we really found good singing partners,
in
each other for sure, and it was like that from day one.
Yeah,
really easy to sing together.
So how long? I guess how long were you guys in Whiskey Morning before you started trying to like start writing together? As
Whiskey Morning's been in existence for 6.5 years, and I started Whiskey Morning Band with my really good friend Dave Henson, and Dave and I started Whiskey Morning, and we expanded it into a full band, and we did that for several years, and then one day we needed a fill-in guitar player, and Dave knew Michael and roped Michael into playing with us on a trio gig, and to make a long story short, Dave ended up leaving Whiskey Morning, and so the duos or the trios that I would do with Dave and a guitar player was basically left to just me and Michael. And so we kind of revamped those gigs that we already had that were already booked, and we created this sort of duo with some different songs, and really kind of made it what we enjoyed singing and playing.
And given the gig, we will have Bob Breidenbach with us also.
Yeah.
Right. Bob, the great Bob Breidenbach.
Everybody's going to make a little bit of money, and if it's too low paid, you know, you can't bring a whole bunch of people in. So
right.
It's like,
so
we have to make it worth everybody's while.
We had a gig at Natalie's on Lindell that's no longer in existence, and that was a great place, but we played there once or twice a month.
10 to 2 brunches on Sundays.
So we would have 4 hours where we just worked out songs together.
Basically rehearsals, yeah.
Yeah, and we did that for a year or so. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of helped develop what we did, or what we kind of locked into what we like to do the best.
Very nice.
And then that also helped us when we started to write. You know, we knew sort of the type of song.
It really wasn't until we went to 30A that we found a direction, though. And we were like, let's start writing. You know, it's like, I had always held off from writing with her. It's like, I either write by myself or I write with Kevin.
I always had written by myself, and it's scary when you have an idea and you bring it to someone and you think they're going to hate it.
Yeah.
Well, is it good?
Yeah. It's very, you got to be, you make yourself very vulnerable to it all, you know, like you got to be open to criticism and everything. And some of that, like, I mean, I just assume that like for a lot of you, it's like, this is a very personal thing.
Sure.
And it's hard to take somebody and have somebody like cut it up and be like, no, this is, I don't want this or whatever. So it's hard to.
Yeah, you really have to. If you're going to dig your feet in on something, you better live and die by that, because you can't dig your feet in on everything. You have to be open to change and giving it up and allowing somebody to manipulate it.
We always kind of said, like, if there's something that you really want in the song, and like you really want that line, or you really want the way the music is going to go, if you believe in it really strongly, then okay, we're going to do it. So we usually,
and I mean, typically when it's like that, we end up with something we can't finish. You know, it's like, it really is when you allow the give and take to happen.
Yeah.
That's how you get the finished. You know, you get to the end, the finish line, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
that's I've been trying to figure out how, like, I don't know. It's a bucket list thing for me, sort of, like, to get sit down and actually start writing. I would love to, because I'm, like I said, I'm a huge fan, but that's part of the problem too, is like I listen to so much music, it's hard for me to like shut that off and come up with my original thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's not somebody, like, because every time I put the pen to paper, it's everybody else's lyrics start coming out. So it's hard, but it's kind of cool to hear exactly what that's what you kind of what you guys were doing. You were doing the cover stuff for a while, and then you go to this songwriter convention, and that kind of snaps in and they go, hey, let's
kick this back into it. Yeah.
Well, and I think with the two of us, you know, you might say a line in conversation, and I'll say that would be a cool song, and that's really kind of how
it's the whole inspiration of that record,
right?
Really.
So that record's called What Whiskey Did. And, you know, Michael said, oh, I wish you'd known this guy before What Whiskey Did.
I had this uncle that he gave me my first guitar. He was, as I was, you know, he was the most amazing, next to my dad, the most amazing guy in the world to me. Like, he was always funny, always supportive, always laughing and joking. He would, he could play 1,000 songs, you know, in the key of E or C or A. He could sing like Elvis, and he would just play this stuff over and over and over. And it was just, that every Saturday morning I heard him sing, and it inspired me to play guitar. And he would just light up a room when he was in. But as he got older and retired, and you know, and life does what it does, you know, he started drinking whiskey and stuff, and like he just wasn't the same person. And it was so sad to see it. He's since passed away, but you know, I told her, I said, man, I wish you would have met my uncle, you know, and especially before What Whiskey Did, you know. And it just kind of became this little line. It's like, and typed it in the phone, and next thing you know, there's a song, and we named the record that, and it, you know, it all just kind of came from that. And
I wish he would have known the way the sunset shone on canyon walls as shadows fall. Instead of old pool halls, barroom brawls reduced him to a crawl. They nearly took it all. Well, you thought he cared for mama. You thought love was just a thing that money bought. His time spent on the bottle put her on every pill that she's got. You can't blame the man, but really it's just what whiskey is. Stories high. Big city in the snow. It's far away from Texas. You can go. It's really not that cold. But instead, the lazy creek will try every place he's known throughout his life. But he holds that bottle. Nothing he can do. Try to change the man. just what whiskey did.
And a lot of the songs, I think, have people and places in it, especially that song. But a lot of the songs have some sort of disguised meaning in it. Not that we're trying to hide anything, but just
something.
You don't want everything so cut and dry, you know. Yeah. You want people to be able to have their own ideas and thoughts about it.
Sure. Yeah, I like when songs are just vague enough to where you can kind of apply to your own life in different mm-hmm. in different scenarios and stuff, and like sometimes when you get the full story, it's it kind of takes away from mm-hmm. some of it to what you've already created in your mind as a fan or a listener and stuff. So but you know, I enjoy all the stories. Like it's just fun to hear, and like especially something like that, like as personal stuff. Some people I've noticed, like they can, you know, some of it's personal, some of it's just fictitious stuff but it's funny when a writer like writes something and it's fictitious and the people believe that it's a real story, and it's like, well, you did that, not all these are true stories.
It's not all autobiographical, yeah. For sure.
It's kind of funny, when we were trying to figure out if we were going to write together, just previous to that, me and Kevin, who we're in Shooting with Annie, him and me and Mike Flynn, we wrote 30 songs between the three of us. We didn't write them all together, but Kevin and I worked on a lot of stuff, and it was all this like personal stuff. It was all about situations and affecting our lives. And like when we started writing, I was like, I don't want to do any of that. Let's make up stories. Let's try to get you start to just fall down this path where everything has to mean something or everything has to draw. And it the new challenge was to write something that wasn't personal at all, mm-hmm. you know, to try to come up with something that was good. And so we did that on a few songs, mm-hmm. but still, I think, like I said, a lot of them still have some sort of tie into something,
right?
Even though it's not so apparent, I guess.
But they all kind of start with a line. Like you said the line, "Winter takes a vacation." And then I actually went on a vacation, and on the plane ride home, I wrote some lyrics with no real tune in my head. And it was kind of one of those things where the lyrics kind of came out pretty easily on that plane ride. And then I got home, and I was kind of afraid to show you. And you kind of had the idea of the music right away, and that song's called Winter Takes a Vacation, and it's actually going to be in a film this summer, I think, called Daddy's Girl, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Winter takes a vacation, I'm left at the station again. It's the Abraham Lincoln 550, I'm thinking it's probably just pulling in. Well, I pour a companion and then let the sand in. Don't even care when we arrive. When we ride. Springtime in Shiloh, her dress lemon yellow, a hard color for most girls to wear. She doesn't complain, but her face stays the same, and I know she thinks life is unfair. She's a child, she's a child, she's a child. When we ride through the night, the white noise of the tracks, now there's no going back. It's gotta be summer, so much.
just after Easter, another Illinois April bloomed green. I pull into Shelby with thought she would tell me I wanna hear only one thing. But she cried, she just cried. Except what I feel for you. When we ride through the night, the white noise of the tracks, now there's no going back, it's gotta be summer somewhere. When we ride through the night,
the white noise of the tracks, now there's no
going back.
But that's kind of, that is not an autobiographical song at all. So,
how'd that come about? Is that,
Another friend that I played music with for years since high school, he is a director now out in California, mostly doing horror flicks and stuff like that. But he worked as a, I don't know if he directed or edited this movie, Daddy's Girl. I don't even know what the plot is at this point. But he said, hey, I'm putting a song in there and I'm looking for a song like this and all that. So really with just from, you know, friendship connection, it wasn't anything we worked or it was just kind of a, you know.
So he got a copy of the record and was attracted to that particular song? And
yeah.
Said that this will fit for the movie?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's in the background of something, you know, going on, you know. But what,
hopefully
you know.
Someone's getting murdered at the time. I don't
Yeah, well, that's very cool. I mean, like, and I don't know, like, I think of like anything, any opportunity like that. I mean, you think about like, oh, well, maybe somebody will hear it and they'll tell a friend and whatever, so on.
Yeah. He really does a great job. Every movie he's a part of, he tries to put in music from people from St. Louis that he knows and he enjoys. You know, he really uses that bit, his job now, to still kind of like what you do, you know, promoting people and what they do, you know, and that's what he kind of tries to do too.
Yeah, I was actually, I mean, it's completely different, but I was listen a lot of Howard Stern on my ride.
Me too.
And I listened to him, and he had, it was today where, I think it was a repeat, but it, cause I guess he's on vacation. But it was Adam Sandler, and Sandler's a lot like that. Like, you know, a guy who's got a position where he's able to make movies and do stuff, and then he brings all of his buddies and puts them in all of his movies. And and I think that's just like a really cool thing. Like, you know, you keep paying it back to all your buddies that helped you out in the past and stuff like that. And
one of us makes it, we all make it in a way like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I hopefully if I ever get to that level or somebody else gets to that level, hopefully, we'll all keep, you know, helping each other out. So,
for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So we did mention the record What Whiskey Did, and that is now available at findtodriveband.com, iTunes, Spotify, CD Baby, we said, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the digital channels, pretty much.
And we have physical copies at the shows.
We do, or you can message Find a Drive on Facebook or go to the website and get you one.
Yeah, and we do have a couple of live dates. Again, all the dates on the website, but a couple we want to mention for sure. Coming up on June 8th, you'll be at Molly Darcy's, and that's a duo gig that night.
Yep.
Yes.
And June 9th over in Chesterfield at Naked Vine.
Right, and that is our a full band Find a Drive gig. So Friday night, the night before at Molly Darcy's, is the two of us. Saturday night, the 9th, at Naked Vine is the full Find a Drive band, and we're going to play our record and some other stuff and just hang out and have a blast at Naked Vine like we always do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brian's great. He's
He's been a big supporter of ours for the last few years, and In fact, Find a Drive name was born one night at Naked Vine when we realized we should have a different name than Whiskey Morning. And yep.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a very fond place in our hearts for Brian and that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And June 14th at Porter's, and you said it's Collinsville?
Yeah, Porter's Steakhouse in Collinsville is in the Doubletree. Michael and I do a duo in the bar there. That's really just a fun, casual night. It's usually prime rib night at Porter's. Prime rib night. Yeah, so that's fun. So we'll be there.
Yeah. And we got a couple big ones later in the summer. July 28th, you'll be at San Lu. And that's a honky tonk night they've been doing over there, and you'll be with Cree Rider.
Yep.
Band
and Cree Rider duo that night, and our full band, and thanks to Billy Corgan and the Less Gruff yeah. Billy Goat guys.
Yeah, they kind of
put that on. They're awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I love those guys. They're all a bunch of good dudes.
Really good dudes.
Yep. But yeah, that's a good thing. They and actually John. I guess the owner of St. Lou, and we've become friendly too and stuff. So like, but yeah, we were kind of actually just talking about that the other night. What the honky tonk nights and how they've been doing well over there with everything. So
good,
be fine.
Yeah.
September 22nd, you guys will be at KDHX at the stage.
Yep.
And that's a beautiful room. It's really a cool space. Like more of a listening room type of experience over there, so that'll be a really neat show for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, we'll have everybody that night, and again playing the record and chatting with people, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, is that gonna are you guys gonna do more of the storytelling and stuff in that show, you think? Or
I imagine we will,
because that room definitely kind of lends to that. I mean,
sure.
It's not like your typical bar show where you gotta keep, you know, playing the music and stuff, but like this one, like it's, I think that particular crowd is more into just
the,
you know,
behind the scenes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that could be a really fun night for sure. So.
Yeah, I think so too. We're excited about it.
Yeah. I saw Hannah Aldridge over there one night, and it was really great. And like, it's just, yeah, it's a cool space they have going on over there. And I've been noticing they've been doing a lot more, you know, shows in there for so. It's it's been cool. So
we've heard great things about that place, so we're excited.
Yeah, and again, findadriveband.com for full calendar. Yep. And again, you can purchase the record there as well and get involved with everything going on.
Instagram and Facebook. And
all that stuff.
We did some live acoustic, and another one you guys played was Everything But Love.
Everything But Love,
Yeah, is it? And this one appears on the record.
It does. It actually opens the record up. Yeah.
That was a song where I just had had a verse or so, and kind of the rhythm of how I kind of heard it going in my head, and he had a lick that he had in his head, and it all just kind of fell into place.
Yeah. We just kept writing words to it because it's a very wordy song actually over just two verses and a little kind of bridge, but.
But it's a really fun song to play with the full band, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Coe has a kick-ass bass solo in that song.
Everything but love. never satisfied.
She's always wanting something more.
Long driveway, tree line Thursdays. What's worth the sacrifice? Smile, wave, do your duty.
Price to pay for something nice.
If what they say is true, I'd watch my back if I were you.
Kevin recorded the record for you?
He produced it for us,
We
did over at Sawhorse with Jason McIntyre.
Yeah, right.
And yeah. I don't see any reason to record anywhere else in town because it's awesome over there.
He did our Whiskey Morning album, too, and it's awesome.
Yeah, Jason's... He's the man.
Yeah, he is.
He's been on the show, too, and it was just fun to kind of pick his brain because he's recorded all kinds of my favorite records, so it was fun to sit and talk to him for a little while about all that stuff, but...
He's a fun person to be around too. He's just funny and happy and makes it really easy. He's so good at what he does.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
we enjoy Jason a lot.
Yeah, we do.
Is there working with Jason and Kevin in studio? Like, did any of these songs really change drastically in studio?
Yeah, I mean. So maybe the arrangement stuff didn't change, but some of the orchestration did. Some of the stuff we did with the, you know, Quentin plays stand-up bass, but we did some bowing stuff and kind of layered some things a little differently than we would have thought of right off the bat. Kevin has a much better kind of pop sensibility. I'm a really lazy studio person. I don't really like the situation a whole lot. I like to kind of go in and just get done, you know. But Kevin's really good at fleshing things out. You know, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? You know, and really helps to guide everything in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I get locked into an idea like this, and I'm like, no, this is the way it is. You know, so I like having that.
Kevin will throw out an idea, a tiny, tiny tweak that we've never thought of. That changes the whole entire song.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Jason can make it happen just like that, which is awesome. You know.
Well, I did hear a line. I did a podcast over the weekend, and we actually recorded with the band and their producer in the studio, and talking about their new record. So, we kind of got both sides of the project, and he said Michael, the producer, was saying. That he once heard, if you don't hate your producer by the end of the session, then you're probably not doing the right, you know, doing this job, because like they ask you to do it so many different ways and do it, you know, so like I just did this 50 times or whatever, and that kind of vibe. But like I feel like that's what a good producer, you know, does to bring the best out of you and stuff. And
Well, we just could never hate Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, not in the...
Well, it was funny. There was a part he wanted to... We talked about changing the some part of the arrangement of one song, and I was so dead set on it, you know. And afterwards,
not doing it.
Yeah, and afterwards, Kevin said something like, "It's like, man, I thought, man, you might punch me right in the mouth or something," you know. So it was kind of funny, you know. And but you know that push and pull helps a lot.
But what's funny about that is that we were like, "No, you know, Kevin." He's like, "It's your song, whatever you think." And so we elected not to go with what he said. And then a few months later, we realized, "Shit, Kevin was right."
Yeah, it's actually about two or three things that he had these ideas, and we pulled out and. And then he's like, "Listen, did you hear this song? It's on there." Or, "Listen, did you hear this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I probably should have listened."
So the moral of the story is we have to listen.
Listen to the producer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hired him for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that's fun, too. Like, as a fan, I enjoy, you know, I talk about it a lot in here, but I like the evolution of a song, you know. You may have played it out one way for a long time, and then you got your original version, and then... The way that changes, it comes to life in the studio, mm-hmm. and stuff, and I just like that whole process of how
it is really interesting that kind of in that mode, you know, we started writing these songs and we were just doing them as the two of us, and we thought we'd record them as the two of us, and then we thought, well, we got a Bob there. Bob, you know, just puts the best icing on everything, and then Susie's friend Aaron Bodie. They were out one time and they were talking. You had mentioned something about, I don't even know how it came up, but she knew Quentin Coe. And
she said, you ought to give this guy a call. And I had actually met Quentin one time over at Aaron's house. And then we called him and
we met him and talked to him.
And he's just a super guy.
And then we're like, okay, so, all right, well, Quentin will play bass in this thing. Okay, he's a stand-up bass player. That's cool. That'll be the percussion too. And then... My friend, who I played music with for years, a different guy in San Francisco, he was like, "Hey, my friend who I used to play music with, Adam's living here in town in St. Louis now. He's looking for people, you know, to kind of hang out with, get into the scene a little bit." So we met him, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we need him to play drums.
Drummer.
So now all of a sudden, Find a Drive was a duo, and now it was this full band. And we all these songs we had, we just kind of threw them right out there, and we're like, okay, let's make these songs. So the songs are pretty much written, but we allowed everybody, it's like, come on, like, throw in there. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? You know,
Adam is a great arranger and has really good ideas. And
everybody, even like, you know, Bob had ideas. Well, why don't we do this here? Yeah. Why don't we do that? And then like when we had that all together, right before we recorded, we had Kevin come over. And Kevin just listened to us play and he said, well, why don't you try this? And it was just like everything just developed in these steps that were, each one seemed massive in my eyes because it was like, oh wow, I've liked it like this, but now I love it like this. You know, love it,
sure.
You know, the way it ended up. So
yeah.
So it was a great, it was very organic because it just grew from this little thing and just kept getting bigger and bigger.
But we've kind of said from the beginning, like, let's just be open to everybody's ideas and hear what they have to say and let's try it. Why not try everything and see what happens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We did one more, and this, you said this is brand new, right? We
have Brake Lights, yeah.
Brake Lights.
Yeah. So we wrote this just this spring.
We had played some shows
back in that Florida area.
Kind of Florida and East Coast a little bit. On our way back, we were coming through Nashville, and right when we got on the other side of Nashville, we like hit this freak snowstorm. And she was driving. She's like, I don't want to drive in this. So I got in the car and I started driving. And
he drove like it wasn't even snowing.
Yeah,
and
I felt confident in my ability.
I was nervous. And he said, just close your eyes. Just don't even worry about it. Go to sleep. But as I was sitting there with my eyes closed, I was nervous in the snow. I could still tell the cars were there. I could see them through my eyelids that the cars were braking. And so I kind of wrote the line down and... A couple weeks later, we were just...
We're actually sitting right here in the same spot, and the Avett Brothers movie was on. And I had a guitar, and I was screwing around with just that little lick, and we wrote the song in like 5 minutes.
For some reason, felt like I had an idea, and I found that line that I had written in the car and added to it, and he's just noodling on the guitar, and I said, wait, play that again. I think what I just wrote will fit right in there. And you said, sing it. And I sang it, and then you sang it with me, and it really just fell into place. Like, again, that whole, like, we didn't even talk about what the parts were. And
it really was just like a 5 or 10 minute song. And we've been sitting on like about 6 half-written songs right now. And that one just came so easy, and it just makes me think of those other ones. I'm like, well, what's wrong with these? How come they're not finished?
If
that one came as easy as it did, but it was kind of a neat little process the way that worked out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd read mine, then you'd know what I don't say. I'd still come back anyway. I look the other way. If not for you, I'd be fine to drive. Just like always, you don't realize that I can still see brake lights in your open hands. Hardship born of sinking sands. Aurora Borealis nights. You can't see stars through city lights. Sometimes you'd read mine. Aurora Borealis night. We saw stars through city lights. I looked the other way, at least I tried. Not for you, I'd be fine to drive. Just like always, you don't realize that I can still see brake lights.
It seems like, you know, I've heard from, like, in listening to Stern, and hear all of my favorite writers on there, and they say, like, most of those hits are like the ones that they write in 5 minutes.
Yeah, their best ones come really quick.
And they're like, they can't explain it. Nobody, you know, I worked on this song, I can't seem to figure it out, but I put so much work into this one, and then this one comes out in 5 minutes, and everybody loves it, and it's like...
Everybody loves the B-side.
Yeah.
And then I hear that story of the guy who wrote He Stopped Loving Her Today, the big George Jones song, and that he had like notebooks full of rewrites.
For that one song.
And I think... Man, do we need just half-ass everything? That? Because, like, it's really a beautiful song, but how much could you really rewrite it? I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot of lyrics to that song.
Right.
That's pretty incredible.
That's a good one, though, yeah.
It is a good one.
Yeah. I liked the line, I guess it's actually, I think the first line you were saying, like, about read your mind, I wish you would read mine. Like, I feel like... I don't know. That particularly jumped out to me. Like, I just feel like that's a good representation of a relationship at times. Like, you know, where you sometimes wish you could, you know what the other one's thinking and stuff. So,
what is it?
You think that I can read your mind.
I wish sometimes
you'd read mine. Mind. Then you'd know what I don't say.
It really is. I think every relationship has that, doesn't it? Like,
wouldn't it be easier if your partner could just read your mind and know that
But what's funny is the longer you get into a relationship, you know, you'll sit here and do something and then they'll be like, what are you doing? And then this person thinks like, you don't know what I'm doing? I've done this for the last however, you know, and that's the whole line. It's like, you know, you think I can read your mind.
Actually, you know what? You actually said that to me when I was thinking of those lines as I was writing them on my phone. And you kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? And then I guess I just looked back at you and you said, can you read my mind, or can't you read my mind, or something?
Yeah.
This is funny.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that's with any, I mean, even if probably even, you know, bandmates or whatever, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, but like, I think like you just get comfortable and you assume that, you know, people think, you know, but yeah, I feel like it definitely resonated with me and, you know, in a relationship vibe. So, but yeah, I like that one a lot. Hopefully, hopefully we'll get that one.
That might be a single or something.
Well, you know, and that's just kind of it. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of talks like, do you record a full CD anymore? Mm-hmm. You know, or do you just record a few songs and release them and then later on record a few more songs? I mean,
sure. I feel like, I mean, I've done enough of these conversations with everybody trying to figure it out. You know, there are no rules anymore in music, I don't think. I mean, it seemed like whatever, 70s and 80s and 90s, even like it was about the record, you know?
Yeah.
And, but today it seems like an EP is really effective, you know, just three songs. I had friends that put out a single. It was like a writing process too. Like, you know, like sometimes they didn't have the song written before the end of the month, but it was a goal to write, have a song out each month, release it as a single, and at the end of the year, they put all 12 songs on a record together.
That's a cool idea.
And so it also helped fund the record by, you know, they put it on iTunes, they would sell some singles, and then that would help fund the next thing. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of neat opportunities and ideas to get creative with it too, but I think, you know, a single, even on Spotify or whatever, just get it out there and get some people know you're still here and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well, you know, a friend of ours that we played a lot of music with, he was the drummer shooting with Annie. He was in Whiskey Morning. Well, he's in Nashville now playing with, you know, a mid-level country artist. And he released a new single this spring, and then now they'll tour all summer. And I was talking to him, I'm like, so will there be an album? He's like, well, the record company said they might actually release an album. You know, and he's excited because he hasn't released an album for like 5 or 6 years. They just released this song here and this song there. So even at that level, they're not, I don't know if they're seeing a value in that, that the cost to produce that full length, you know, recording. Yeah. So
I think the story with Luke Combs, he just kind of hit big with that Hurricane song, country music and stuff. And I think he believed in, like, I think he kind of been kicking around for a while, but he believed in that song Hurricane, and he cut it and put it on iTunes and sold like 100,000 copies or something like in a week or something something crazy like that. Like did really well, and that's what started getting him label attention. And then he used that money to go to fund his record and when put an EP or a record together, what it, how many songs he put on or whatever it was. But like that single, you know, helped fund everything to put him out there. And then now he's on tour with Jason Aldean and stuff. So it's like
crazy how it works.
Yeah, he went from on a rocket ride to the top and stuff is pretty wild. But
that's great.
And like artists that are actually making it all have their own story. It's not, oh yeah, well I got a record contract and then they put me out on the road. I mean, everybody's got these different paths to, you know, to getting some sort of recognition and making some money or selling some songs or whatever it is. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I think as a fan, I love a good album. I mean, like, you know, but there are times where a song can get lost in the mix and somewhere. And it's like, so I think that's what's kind of nice about a 3 or 4 song EP or something like that, to where you can like just sit and focus on these 4 songs because you know, there's a lot of time. I mean, like you're saying, the B sides, the earlier and stuff. Like, I feel like that. Like, I listen to them all, but not a lot of people will just skip to the ones they like and stuff.
Right.
And
sure.
So, but some of those other songs that weren't the radio hits and are the, some of the best stuff. So, but yeah, there's no rules to any of it. I think that's kind of the fun thing about what we're doing today and with music. And but we do have the record available. Hopefully, we'll get some new tunes like this Break Lights out there soon.
Hopefully, this summer. Yeah.
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 And maybe go visit Jason again.
Yep.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we just need to visit him, so we might as well record something when we visit him.
Yeah, there you go. And again, all these dates, findadriveband.com and coming to a town near you.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you all for doing this. It's been
thank you.
A ton of fun.
Enjoyed it for sure.
So fun.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, hopefully we'll do something again when. Later on, when some new tunes come out or whatever it is, I'd love to hang out again. And
that'd be great.
For sure.
Share some more stories.
We'll do it.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.